shack. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped but it's no hype. From this height it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc, I rip to a tear. Switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd. No, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this.
Why in the world did I think it was a good idea to watch Fox News for even 30 seconds today? Jeb Bush has apparently decided that he may or may not run for president. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. With my co-host,
Desert Young. How you doing, guys?
We are also joined in the studio this evening by Eric P.
Hey, y'all.
He is the head of Bitcoin Birmingham, and he will enlighten us with some cryptocurrency facts later on this evening. But to talk about Jeb Bush running for president.
Yeah, we're going to get another Bush into office, guys.
We're going to get me into Canada is what we're going to get, guys.
But we have to say this has to be a joke. Are we going to see this again here?
It doesn't even – like, it's insane. Like, it doesn't even matter if you think that the first two were the greatest presidents ever, which, unless you've had a lobotomy, I don't understand how you could. But that being said – we're kind of at a point where you're just going to have, you know, royalty.
Yeah.
We're just going to have royalty. We're going to have a Clinton against a Bush, supposedly.
Well, we just keep passing the torch along, man, you know.
To who?
Hey, I guess they're going to get Bush in again.
They're not. They're not. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. They came out with it today, and, you know, I don't know, man. I'm kind of fed up with all the politics of America.
Well, I think... to say the least, that we're fed up with the politics. How long is it going to take? How long is it going to take until we're in another war?
Yeah, well, we headed that way now, SM. And I think that, you know, mainstream media keep throwing this fear in our face. And the more they throw it in, the quicker we're going to go to war. And, like, just...
Well, we've got a Nobel Peace Prize winner that's bombed 7 countries right now. And he's the guy that says he wants peace. What's going to happen when we get another Bush in there that's like, I'm okay with bombing people?
Well, you got to say, a lot of things have been passed this week, not just that. Hey, they can now listen to you unwarranted. To your phone calls, we've been knowing that, but now it just secretly passed through Congress like the other day.
Again, do what they want when they want. There's no regard for human life. There's no regard for your freedoms. There's no regard for the fact that you were born in this country.
Yeah.
You know, we're told growing up, you know, they teach us when you're in first and second grade because you were born in America that you are a little bit better than everybody else on the planet. Well, how's that working out for everybody? How'd that work out for Eric Garner?
Yeah. Well,
Tamir Rice.
And you see
John Crawford.
Yeah. But and now the mainstream media is like downplaying that. Now they're throwing like the massacre that happened over in Afghanistan.
Well, you know, I think that's an absolutely terrible thing. But at the same time, I think the media is putting it in our faces because we see these children dying, which is absolutely horrendous. That is tragic. But they show us that. It's not like there's not these things. They happen all over the world.
Yeah, well, shit, we have thousands of kids that's dying here.
Right.
Longer.
But they want you to see that so you'll know that there's a reason to go to war the next time they say we need to go to war.
Yeah.
It's all propaganda. You know, going back to Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, have y'all heard the story about the guy in Texas? He was holding a spoon and got killed.
Yes, and not just that. Wasn't he like across the street from his residence? And not just that, he was also mentally ill, right?
He was. Basically, what happened is the police were called for a situation.
Catch me up on this one, yes, man. Because I, you know, just hearing this and seeing it so much, how much police brutality that's going on, and it's like in our face now, you know. So
we actually have a guest on the line right now with the anti-media herself, Miss Carrie, wonderful, fantastic writer. She wrote the story about this, and we're going to let her tell everybody about it a little bit more.
How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic.
Fine.
So tell us
good
about what happened in Texarkana.
All right. So apparently there's this 35-year-old man. His name is Dennis Greensby, and he, according to his mother, is mentally ill. It's not specified what. I assume those details are going to be coming out as the story is covered more and more reporters are able to speak with her. But her son lives with her. He was across the street, and apparently he was trying to break into a home. Clearly, he's mentally ill, so no one is surprised. But the woman who lived there called the police. Big mistake. I say just be armed. But anyway, it's a natural response to no, I assume. It was her neighbor's son. Maybe she did. I don't know. I don't have the details, so I can't say for sure. But the officer came. He saw this guy in the garage holding a spoon, which the police are now claiming he was holding the round edge of the spoon and say the handle was sticking up. It's unclear. That's the police story.
Police,
we don't know. But
we haven't seen that at all recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the cop claimed that this guy, Greensby, started advancing towards him. The cop told him to stop. He didn't listen. He was being aggressive, and boom, shoots him in the chest. Now, I find this questionable because even if he was holding the spoon with the handle up, that's equivalent to a butter knife at best. So that's just as much as a ridiculous story. Like, that could be a huge headline, too. Cop shoots a guy holding a butter knife, a mentally ill man holding a butter knife, you know? So there's just so many instances of police claiming that their lives were threatened and claiming that people had deadly weapons when they weren't anywhere near deadly. And this is just such a common excuse for unmitigated police violence that I think people are getting really sick of it.
And see, my thing is that I'm really sick and tired of all the police that are like saying officer safety is first. I think those guys need to go and get a new job, right?
Exactly.
To
their slogan is protect and serve, not protect and serve themselves.
Go get a new job. Stop being a fucking pussy. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I just had to, like, just express myself because I'm kind of upset.
Now, here's a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this, Carrie, but I wonder, does Texarkana have a policy of cameras on the officers yet?
I do not know that. That's something worth Googling right now, actually. But I believe, well, the Texas Rangers are investigating, and it was a little difficult based on the research I did to be able to tell if it was Texarkana police that did it or whether it was Texas Rangers, because it's the Rangers that are investigating. And I don't know their policy on body cameras, but there seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy. And I it's actually really frustrating to try to get information because these media outlets are so sloppy and there's so many inconsistencies in the reporting that, like, you have to be so careful about what you say because you never know, you know.
Absolutely, because they'll each different faction of the media will give you a completely different story.
Exactly.
And I think it kind of works that way, is to keep people confused, and, you know, you heard this, you heard this, you heard this, and finally they can settle on whatever story they've decided to tell.
Exactly. And I did just Google body cameras and Texarkana, and it seems that they do use them. So it should be interesting to find out.
There should be video of this.
There should be, but, you know, there's all these instances of officers just turning their body cameras off.
Okay.
So
yeah. And we know how that works. It only turns off if they've done something wrong.
Exactly. It malfunctions, you know, or, you know, something ridiculous. And that's why this whole thing about Obama mandating or calling for cops to have body cameras is sort of just like hot air to me.
Right. You know, what they should do is have these body cameras link up to the cloud. So, you know, there's no malfunctioning. They always go there. And, you know, it's on public record. Is a police department ever going to do that? No, probably.
Well,
not.
My cell phone, my videos is always like connected to the cloud because, you know, you never know when you're going to get pulled over and your phone get taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I think these
And that just happened in Denver, and the guy was arrested just a couple days ago because it was the story of the man who was beaten and his girlfriend was tripped, his pregnant girlfriend.
Pregnant girl.
And yeah, and that was a big story. And he was, this guy filmed it. And the cops took it, they deleted the footage, but he was able to restore it, and he gave it to a local news station. And magically, a few days later, he was arrested when he was leaving the FBI office, who's investigating the case, and he was on his way to the news station to give an interview, and he just happened to be arrested for a newly enacted traffic violation,
which was highly suspicious. The cop that actually beat the guy was promoted?
He was, yes, and he got a raise.
Promoted and a raise. For tripping a pregnant woman and beating a guy up. But if you film that,
this has to be a joke.
This is serious. This happened in the United
States
of America.
And I do just want to make a note. I read into that article a little more, and Texarkana does not have body cameras.
They do
not. It's an article about body cameras, but they don't. Yeah, they don't use them. So we're out of luck on that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and telling us the true side of the story of what we know so far.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. We're going to try to keep everybody up to date with this story.
Yes, we will.
You know, a guy that's sitting in his garage holding a spoon that doesn't issue a death warrant.
Yeah, well, I guess you can't eat a bowl of soup.
Well, you know, it depends on what kind of soup, though. It could be carrot soup or something.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, and we'll follow with you on more stories, okay?
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yes,
have a great night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, she makes a good point as far as we've got a guy that, you know, it goes up to the cloud in Colorado, right? But he gets arrested. So still, it's like when the right thing is done, it turns around and there's still no accountability. The cop that does the beating gets a promotion and a raise. Eric Garner, nothing.
Well,
on film.
So what's
what are these body cameras going to do?
Nothing. I am over the body cameras. Like, you know, and
in theory, they should work.
And we appreciate you guys calling in. We have another caller calling in. We're going to take this call.
Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. How you doing this evening?
War. What is it good for?
Fair enough. Well,
What is it good for? What is it good for, buddy? I guess it's kind of, you know.
Well, you know, I guess you go back to the old 60s tune, but we'll keep moving on from that.
But thanks again, buddy, for calling in. But back to this story on accountability, you know.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Will we ever get it? Will we ever get justice?
What happens when you do get accountability? Look, let's go back. Let's talk about the CIA torture report. Let's talk about accountability.
Yeah.
We have 6,000 pages released that detail.
6,000 pages? Let's just 6,000 pages. Think about it.
Right. And it details actions taken by the Central Intelligence Agency against quote-unquote terrorists, all in the name of freedom. The entire reason that I was unfortunately had my eyes pointing in the direction of Fox News earlier, which I still don't understand why I
did
that.
Yeah, we really don't understand that, because, you know, that's one of the outlets that you need to stay away from.
But all of them. All of them. But Dr. James Mitchell was interviewed on one of those blonde women shows, Megyn Kelly, I believe. He was interviewed by Vice yesterday and wasn't allowed to speak due to a court order regarding his involvement in the torture. Well, I guess within the last 24 hours, that had been lifted, so he decided to go on Fox News and talk about his involvement in how he conducted interrogations. It was reported that he personally was one of the two people that made $81 million. It was, you know, it was a contract, you know, with this company. There was no bid on it. It was just given to him. But tonight, Dr. James Mitchell, who was in the room with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, looked him in the face, waterboarded him, was asked the question by Megyn Kelly, do you believe what you did was torture? Was it torture? And his response was, not in my mind. If it was torture, I would be in jail. But, yeah, give me a break. He didn't say give me a break. I did, because it's sickening. It was investigated over and over. I was told by the highest law enforcement agency in the land that we were going to walk right up to the edge of the law. Walk right up to the edge of the law. But that everything we were doing was legal. She then asked, did it feel like torture when you did it?
How does it feel like?
His response was, it felt like I was doing my duty. He then followed up with, I found it repulsive at times.
You find, like, really?
So he defends it and says, was it torture? Not in my mind. Did it feel like torture? I was doing my duty, but it felt repulsive. So, obviously, there was something going on in his brain that insinuated that this was very wrong.
Yes, it has to be.
Well, you know, we're sociopaths, who knows? I'm not saying that, you know, Dr. Mitchell is a sociopath. I do know that he conducted these interrogation interviews, as he called it, good cop, bad cop. He was doing the good side of it, well, supposedly. He was the good cop.
Well, so... torture, you know, like, I feel like, you know, in certain terms, like, hey, if you're going to torture people, don't lie to us and say that you're not torturing people. But at least say, hey, we're going to torture these guys. They torture us. You know, let's, but I'm just saying.
Eye for an eye, the whole world goes blind.
But I'm just saying. We already know that you got that. That was going on, right?
Yeah, everybody knew this.
Yes, but now it's just it's out. So we all can see the documentation. We all.
That's not the issue. There was a poll taken that over half of the people polled said that because of 9/11, they felt that the torture was justified.
Yes, because as a and you have to say, like, people that's listening. You have to say that if you can remember 9/11, the first thing that happened, like when you seen those like planes crashing to the buildings, what was the first feeling?
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. It was scary.
I'm like,
I tell you what was even scarier for me. You know, what was scarier for me about that day was realizing that. You see the two planes crash into the buildings, but then time passes, and then you realize there was a third building that no plane touched, and it just fell down in its own footprint that day. I don't know what happened. I don't feel like they've ever been given real answers to know what happened. That doesn't mean it was some inside job or anything like that. I don't know. But what I do know is that that's not typical. And we've never been given true answers as to why that happened. And I just feel like it should be investigated more to know what happened.
Yeah, and one day we may find the truth. You know, it takes like 50 years, 40 years for the truth to be released.
We're still waiting on Kennedy.
Well, I don't think the Kennedy thing will ever... Well, hey.
75 years they sealed those records for.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Dr. King's just came out also, right?
Well, kind of. The letter came out, you know, with the FBI encouraging him to kill himself. But as far as clearing James Earl Ray, no, that has not been released yet. His family did win a lawsuit against federal government saying that it was a conspiracy, but James Earl Ray still hadn't technically been cleared. Plus, James Earl Ray did buy the gun, so it wasn't like he was completely innocent. Doesn't mean he knew what he was buying the gun for, but I digress.
Yeah.
Back to Dr. Mitchell and the torture report. Do you think that he clearly believed what he was saying, but he was flipping back and forth? One minute, he's disgusted by it, and the next minute, he's saying that it's his job and he's keeping Americans safe. So, which does he think it is? You know,
that's the thing we want to know from some of you callers. Like, what do you guys think about this whole thing that's going on? You know, so we're gonna take this caller. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Anti-Media.
Hey, what's up? It's Cassius.
Cassius, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just sitting back and watching the results of all these protests and everything. You know, trying to think about everything that's going on.
Fantastic. What have you been talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cassius. This is one of the another great writer for the Anti-Media. Very on top of everything that's going on. What is your opinion about all the CIA torture report?
Well, I think it's deep and it reveals... it's just messed up. I think it's interesting how various groups of people in our society are responding to it right now. And we're all seeing, you know, we're reading the report, people like us, and actually trying to comprehend, you know, all of it. And other people are just completely okay with it without really looking into the ridiculous things they're doing with it, like rectal feeding, you know, shit like that. It's just disturbing, man. It's outright dysfunctionally disturbing. There's no purpose to it, and it's really messed up. And other
people, you don't think that keeps us safe? You don't think that's what the Constitution implied, and that we're free because they're shoving something up some guy's butt? You don't think that's what freedom is?
Definitely not what freedom is. And I think the issue is a lot of people that are forming opinions on this aren't actually going to the report and looking through it, and they aren't looking at the instances where it's been used. And if you look at the instances where it's been used, you know that there's no function from it. Even if you use the excuse that it's, you know, for a benefit and it's to catch terrorists, there have actually been, you know, terrorists caught with it. You know, like people doing other people harm that were caught. You know, there's no function from it. And that's provable. And people still are like, you know, they won't listen to that.
But freedom. So but freedom. And there's a blonde woman on TV saying freedom. And then Sean Hannity comes up right after and says, lots of freedom. And unless, you take a brown person and shove them into a room and pour water over their head for 4 hours and play the Barney theme song over and over, that's not really, we're going to be slaves otherwise. They're going to come over here and just completely wreck our country because we don't torture people. Because they'll torture you. That's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
People
are failing to critically think.
Some prisoners do get tortured, you know.
Well, right, but supposedly the United States of America is above that.
Yeah, but we see that now.
Well, right. Yeah. All right. Well, Cassius, I tell you what, while we've got you on the line, I know that you are on the forefront of another thing that's going on in this country right now is the situation in Oakland. Could you tell us a little bit more about what's going on in Oakland right now? I know probably most of our listeners don't know about that.
Yeah, what's going on in the Bay, man?
Well, yesterday in the Bay, a whole bunch of protesters actually chained themselves to the doors of the police department. It's a pretty bold way to protest, you know, just chain yourself to the door of the police department. And they did that, and, you know, the cops had to come take bolt cutters and cut them off from the doors. I think, what was it, like 27 people got arrested? 27, 28 people. And every day there's been something going on in the Bay, you know? On Saturday, people from Berkeley actually came to join the protesters in Oakland, like the converged protesters.
Yeah, that's great, man, because I watched the protest going on in Berkeley, man, and it really touched me. Like, I'd never seen that really, like, you know, like, happen. It's like, they was, like, just...
They were abused by the police.
Dude, I'm talking, like, peaceful protesting and, like, women getting knocked down by guys, and the cops are, like, saying, hey, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Pointing fingers and trap, like, it's fucking nuts. And if...
Damn, no, that sounds like a protest unfolding the Bay.
What you said?
Damn. It just sounds like a protest unfolding the Bay.
Yeah.
You know, it's characteristic of the area. But
Well, unfortunately, I don't even think it's the air anymore. You know, it's hit Missouri, it's hit New York. I think it's
Of course.
And I think it's been a long time coming. I mean, we've seen what's happened in the Middle East. You know, I think America is coming up to a boiling point, and it was going to take something to set it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed like the spark was lit with Michael Brown, but I think the gasoline was poured over the fire with Eric Garner and Tamir Rice.
Well, Tamir Rice's verdict hasn't come out yet.
We're still waiting on
and
that.
And I think that'll be the, like, boiling point. Because I don't think we'll get an indictment on that either. So it's just a process or a phase that we have to go through right now, and we're just waiting again. We're waiting again. So what you think about the turnout of this Rice situation? How you feel about that?
What situation?
Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy that was shot and killed in Cleveland.
Right, in Ohio. Well, I guess we're waiting on the results. Did the results from that come out? I might have heard.
No, not yet. The world is still deliberating whether it's okay to shoot a little 12-year-old boy holding a BB gun. You know, as soon as you rush up on him, we're still waiting to hear if that's legal or not in this country. Well, I take it back. We're still waiting to hear if it's legal as long as you're wearing a Navy button-up shirt.
I mean, the whole circumstance of that incident was. It was all messed up in every way. Like, if you watch the video, the cop pulls up, not on the concrete, you know, like, not on the road or anything, but
yes, in the
right
grass.
Up to the gazebo thing.
Wait, like, but the police said we told him three times to put the gun down.
When I seen him pull up, it seemed like he just jumped out and started shooting. Like,
but that's what your eyes tell you. That's what your eyes tell you. That's what your cop...
I'm fucking fed up with it, okay? And... To the listeners, I'm fed up, and if you guys not fed up, what is it going to fucking take?
Look, freedom is all about just rushing a 12-year-old child that can cause you no harm.
But you
that's
know,
the country you live in.
Yeah, you know, but hey.
Well, I tell you what, Cassius, thank you so much for calling in. Everybody check out Cassius' story on the antimedia.org as well. We have another caller calling in right now. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. How are you doing this evening?
Carla, how you doing? Welcome to... Hello?
Carla? Hey. Yep.
How you doing?
How you doing? Area code 204. How you doing this evening?
Oh, good. Good.
What would you like to talk about?
Responsible government, I guess.
Well, yeah, the same thing. What we just got through talking about, man, we kind of fed up with all the things that's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, here in Canada, it's like sort of the same shit, different pile type deal.
Okay, so we got a call in from Canada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so tell us your perspective looking down on your neighbor here and just kind of seeing the insanity go on. How do you feel as you look across the border?
Yeah, well, you know, that's all we see on CNN. You can't really watch CNN without, you know, seeing all this same old stuff, like the Ebola, for example. They were just flooding and flooding everybody with the idea that you need to fear this, you need to fear that, you need to fear ISIS.
And it's convenient, though, as soon, like with Ebola, as soon as the elections were over, you never heard about it again. As soon as the United States was allowed to go over back into Iraq, you never heard about ISIS again.
Well, you know, man,
we in Australia, I assume, I suppose. But they're not the threat they were.
Wasn't it just some rowdy local in Australia?
We'll see what the media ends up telling us. But
well, are you guys paying attention to Canada at all in this, or are we just like kind of no big deal?
I think for me, I think we're all one. You know, it's all the same piece of land, and I feel like we are all one in the same thing. And I have a problem with kind of the borders. That's my own personal opinion. That being said, right now, I think as far as the police in the United States, I think that has really captivated the audience of the United States right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely. Well, the police here, I guess you could say they're, I don't know, subliminally racist too towards, especially Native Americans, right? And in the United States, I see that it's the black people being victimized police brutality, and here it's the Native Americans, and I'm sure that there's probably other people here that just fall through the cracks, and they're like of a majority skin color, and they just happen to be a victim of police brutality. But if it's a white person that shoots somebody or a police officer, for example, here, it's just considered like a big crime, for example. But if you're black in the United States, you kill a white cop, for example. We're creating a society of victims here. Of everybody's entitled to be a victim, I guess, or certain people aren't entitled to be that victim. And if you do claim your rights, I guess, as a citizen under the Constitution's, to vote or not to vote, I guess you're still contradicting yourself because you have the right to voice your opinion, right? And I actually like that, but it's not being heard out in the right way in the mass media.
Well, and absolutely.
Alternative media too, right? That's kind of like true media, for example. I can't really find it these days because, I'm like totally checked out from it because turn on CNN right now, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some story that I heard about all summer, and it's going to be the same shit.
And see, and I think that's a big part of the problem, especially with the mainstream media, whether it's in Canada or whether it's here in the United States, there's still kind of a narrative that will be followed. You know, they may have differing viewpoints. You can listen to NBC and you're going to hear how they feel this way about it, and you can listen to Fox and they're going to feel another way about it, but they're all talking about the same topics. And it feels like, to me, is like they're leading the American people, or really people in general, because this media goes out worldwide, down this certain narrative. And this is what we need you paying attention to today. Meanwhile, they are not covering any other sort of real stories that are going on. And, you know, that kind of, there's this huge blind spot that is for the truth. And I do feel that there's aspects of alternative media on the internet that are trying their best, including anti-media, to cover those blind spots to see what's actually happening in the world.
Yeah, and the thing, philosophical type of example that I could give right now is Plato in the Republic. I guess he wrote about Socrates explaining puppeteers in a fire burning, and then there's prisoners, and that's all they could see their entire lives. And when the prisoner escapes, he goes experiences the world for the first time, and it's just like none other, for example. And that's sort of how I see the truth movement becoming. But some truth movements, it's I guess some people don't really take the time to question themselves of why they would want to be involved in the truth movement or something like that and get others to think. But I don't think everybody's ready to hear the truth, and I kind of feel bad for them, but it wouldn't matter how hard you try to make them understand. That's totally their fault, too, to not listen. And somebody's just going to have to...
Do you feel that it's something that is kind of bred inside of people at a young age, and they've basically been indoctrinated with certain beliefs, and they extremely tie in nationalistic beliefs with religious beliefs and intertwine them to the point that you feel like, you know, if a flag is attacked, then it's attacking your personal beliefs and your religion and your soul. That's how I see it. That's how it's tied in together. And I think that's part of the problem, is that people are being indoctrinated at such a young age, and the propaganda is so strong that by the time you are old enough and wise enough to see what's really going on in the world, for you to accept what's actually happening and the truth, you have to break down all the walls and all the barriers, and it's like you're almost standing naked, and everything you've been told is a lie. And it breaks your heart like watching a death, because everything you believed in your entire life has just died in front of you.
That's part of the enlightenment. Like, it's going to take you some time to adjust to the blinding light, and then you're going to experience different things that you've never known before, that you wish that you could have known, or you wonder why that you never knew them. Well, they've been hidden, I guess. You could say that, definitely. And it is true, the way our school system's set up, bureaucracy in general, and we all buy into it, too. Our parents tell us that, oh, hey, go to school, get a piece of paper, fucking get an A-plus or something, you know. And then at Christmas time...
And it is a social acceptance.
It's all about consumption, too, I guess, motivated in general. Humans love things, too. Like, you know, I can't say that. I'd be a hypocrite if I said I don't want stuff.
There's a lot to do with it.
Exactly, man. It's like it's our nature, man. Like, we're so susceptible to being controlled to an extent, but once we see through it, I guess we could take our own education into our own hands and teach others how we see.
And that's what it should be. I think people are very scared of being left out. I think they're being scared of being left out in the dark. They want to be accepted. They want people to not look at them as crazy, because I guarantee you there are people out there tonight listening to this show that believe certain things. They are not willing to tell the person that they see every day, maybe at their job, or, you know, where they go to McDonald's, because they would think that person thinks they're crazy, and that scares them. They don't want people thinking they're crazy. They want to be accepted by society. They don't want to be ostracized. Meanwhile, they have woken up. They have seen what's going on, and they're exploring it for themselves. What we have as a people have to do is get over the fear of somebody looking at us kind of weird because we believe something different than the next person. I believe if we spoke out, we would find that the person across from us that we don't want to believe, you know, we don't want them to know what we think, they would hear what we, you know, they would agree with us. You know, I think there's so many people waking up, but we're waking up in our own minds, and we're still terrified to voice it.
Definitely, man. Like, in middle school, for example, you want to do exactly what all the cool kids do, and then still at the same time you have this tendency of your own to fly your own way, basically. And
absolutely.
You don't want that to be questioned and brought out and to be shunned and shamed and whatnot, or, you know, and then just to deal with that reputation of being the different one. I guess this is part of how it is, I guess. Like, I don't think everybody's going to be, like, awake or whatever that we think that they should be, but even ourselves, like, we could even be fooling ourselves. It's good to be skeptical, man. Like, that's part of developing a critical mind.
Absolutely, man. Well, thank you so much for calling into the Anti-Media Radio this evening. We're going to continue on with the conversation this evening. So, Dedrick, tell me what you think about what he was talking about with the education system. Like, how do you feel that develops us in our mindsets?
Well, yeah, and I think education plays a great part in it. And, you know, and starting there is like, is a great starting point. But I think it even goes farther than that. I think that, you know, parenting and, you know, the things that you were taught at home and stuff like that, you know. And that varies from, you know, with different backgrounds, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I agree. You know, education system, yeah, it's terrible. You know, I think we need to work on that. But I also think that we need to, like, work on, like, also being, you know, more loving and caring for people, and
absolutely, you know, and not justifying torture, yeah, just because.
Yes, and so it's I think people need to just get back to loving people.
Absolutely,
you know, but not just that. I think it also, you know, the education part, you know, it starts at home, and you know, and we need to like step up and have more participation in the schools from the parents and also in the communities, but. He made a great point with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing that scares me is, you know, again, watching Fox News tonight to see the interview, and Fox News is the predominantly Christian channel.
Yeah.
Well, Christianity, it's love. That's what Jesus Christ taught, was love. I think we've talked about this last week. And, you know, the same people that are talking about love are screaming for people's heads.
Yeah.
They're screaming to bomb people. They're justifying torture. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, it's insane! Kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. He taught us to love. Oh, let us waterboard some people.
Well, why not?
Who would Jesus waterboard? Who would Jesus waterboard?
With us, like, being so fed up, I think it's going to take a little discipline. You know, I think it's going to take us some other resources, using other resources to, like, beat these people. Because I think that we can hurt them in their pockets. You know, that's why I think that the cryptocurrency community, or even just, like, crypto itself, you know, can play a big part in this, you know. Like,
absolutely.
More adoption, more merchants accepting this. I think it can play a big part in, like, hey, guess what? Don't shop on Christmas. Let's cut it out. We're going to shut it down. Let's shut the whole system
Black Friday.
You know, well, yeah, Black Friday, but now it's like, you know, still holiday season. You know, people are out shopping, you know, buying clothes, buying toys, you know, doing that. Hey, we have an issue here that we need to, like, you know, like, we need to, like, put it up front and say, hey, we are tired. You know, let's get some other things done.
I agree.
Right?
I think that goes back to being, it's something that you're raised in, and you're kind of, it's bred in you. And I do agree with you. I think in theory you're 100% right. That being said,
it boils down to the Federal Reserve.
Oh, well.
So that's
there
why
we go.
So
that's a
we,
whole
we have a guest in studio tonight that's a great dear friend and that want to share great information about this crypto world. He's our expert, the Eric P. You know, with Bitcoin, the emerging cryptocurrency. Let's see what he has to say about how this can play a major part in the new things that's going on and all the exciting news that we had this week with Microsoft and all. So how you doing, EP?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, the Microsoft news was that was some pretty good news. So I guess I haven't spent any money with Microsoft since this happened, but what I guess is, you know, you can get online with your Xbox and get you some game subscriptions going. Let's see what else has been going on. You've been paying attention, Dedrick.
Well, I see that they're trying to get more uses in the multi-signatures. A lot of emerging other things going on. I see OKCoin is doing very well out of China. That exchange, guys, and you know,
that's the new addiction there. Messing with Bitcoin on
and being able to like
leverage,
yeah, on leverage and trading futures accounts. I think that plays a more accessible means of trading nowadays, and I think that's a great, you know, impact that we could have in sharing this information, and also micro payments. You know, we have another caller calling in. Also, we're going to take this other call. Welcome to the Anti-Media Group.
Yeah, what's the topic of discussion tonight?
Well, we basically trying to touch bases on all these like things that's going on right now in our country, man, with all this police brutality, the injustice, the education system, poverty, you know.
It's all going to shit.
What?
I say it's all going to hell.
It's all going to hell. What you think about it? What's your input on the whole on everything that's going on?
Welcome to socialism, pretty much.
So what you
get ready for martial law,
recording, man. How you feeling about all this stuff?
What was that?
Involved in any of the protesting?
Yeah, except for I'm not able to at the moment, or else I'd be out there. But I mean, just the entire situation we've got going on in our country is completely disgusting, and the way the courts are looking at it is outrageous. Not indicting these police officers that have clearly committed freaking heinous crimes, and just not here's paid vacation
or a fucking pension.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I think it's to that point now, man. I think that we shouldn't just sit back and let this just be it.
Oh yeah.
I don't understand. We all saw the success that Nazi Germany had. They flourished for hundreds of years, didn't they? I think.
Oh yeah, that went wonderfully.
Yeah, I mean it worked out well for them. We're speaking in German right now. We just think it's called English. So I don't understand the problem here. All the murder and the hate sounds great to me.
Yeah, I don't get why everybody's so upset.
Right.
So that's the topic tonight, man.
I hear you. Yeah, I'd be listening to the show, actually, but I don't have a computer at the moment.
I appreciate you listening, man. And, you know, the more people that call in and we get this information out and spread the word and say, hey, we're fucking fed up, okay?
We don't
fuck about your borders. We're sick of you guys lying. We have our own fucking money now. Like, why not?
And I'm sick of the distractions they're putting out.
Absolutely. Like, that's with everything in the media. Like, you know,
I still wanted to know what happened to Ebola. That just kind of disappeared.
No. Hey, this is the new topic, right? So the doctor is going back to Liberia. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to have another fucking Ebola crisis.
Listen, Ebola and please do not misunderstand this for insensitivity, because I know there are people in Africa dying of Ebola, and it's horrible, and something should be done for that. That being said, it does not to be on the mainstream media every single day scaring you to death because one guy may have met somebody that caught it, who had a second cousin that met somebody that knew about it.
And here in North Carolina, dude, people were freaking out because there was one possible case in Charlotte.
Sit the fuck down.
It could
turn into war, could it? They need you to be distracted while they're killing some people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fuck, look at this shit going on with Russia.
Yeah, and that's the topic of the day, remember?
Hey, listen, the economy over in Russia is collapsing. I can't believe that's not all over the news right now.
Yeah.
Greece. Oh, yeah, and then we're trying to piss them off worse with the gas prices.
Yeah. Well, they're...
Oh, well, not just that. They fucking, making new regulations in Germany. Germany just shut down local Bitcoin. Which
oh shit
oh yeah so Russia also getting up regulations and shit like that to ban it also, so we waiting on that, and I guess that's more shit to piss them off.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. They got China on their side.
Well, Putin, ironically, was just voted as the I guess the most popular leader.
The last 30 years, dude, he had changed a lot of things in Russia.
Well, you know.
A lot of people came up, I guess.
No, Putin's in charge, and don't doubt it.
Yeah, but fuck, you know, hey, Putin, yeah.
He's running the show with an iron fist. But, you know,
Putin the moves on him.
The currency right now is collapsing. The rest of the world is not focused on it. They're not talking about it. The currency of Russia is collapsing.
So I guess that people need Bitcoin to save them.
Yeah, Bitcoin is about the only damn stable currency.
Yeah,
that's the only one that keeps going up.
Yeah, and guess what? We can also just share it, you know, and without those fuckers being involved.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, I promote Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
I promote people and saying, screw the government, screw the Federal Reserve, screw centralization, and you know what? Screw Bitcoin. Let's go back to a bartering system. I hate them all!
Or an actual gold-based economy, not just here. We printed more money. We're good.
Yeah, we good.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess they're good, but shit.
Yeah.
And we all good, because we have Bitcoin. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to, like, just preach this thing, man. It all goes, like, hand in hand, you know? We all
sick
of the fucking banks.
I tell you who's sick of the banker, the banker, because they're jumping up, they're jumping out of windows three times a week at this point. They're more sick of themselves than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, man, hey, we appreciate you calling in, man. Call back again, man, and let's keep, like, sharing this great positive information, okay?
All right, man, you take it easy.
All right, you too, buddy.
So, let's talk about... You talk about Bitcoin. So what do we do in this perfect society if we have Bitcoin?
Well, let's ask the expert that we have on hand.
So how is it going to make my life better?
You know, I'm a proponent of Bitcoin, but I don't have all the answers. I guess the same way as
well. You were brought on here because I was reading your bio. Eric P. has all the answers. Period.
Yeah. Well, look. You know, I guess the same way as if we went back on the gold standard. You know, it's a currency. It's not perfect yet. We're still trying to build it.
But there's something more than basically a printing press backing it up.
Right. I mean, the thing with Bitcoin is we know none of it can be counterfeited. So that's a plus right there. And, you know, the stuff that I'm, you know, excited about is the stuff like the Bit Congress. You know, you can
absolutely,
you know, you can mathematically count votes other than having somebody physically count the votes, you know.
We have been in a system where there have been machines counting votes, and I do understand the concept of Bit Congress. We've actually interviewed the creator of Bit Congress on Anti-Media Radio before. And it's a fantastic idea that everyone should look into as Bit Congress as far as where our voting system should go. That being said, it's more than just people, because the machines can lie at this point because they can be manipulated by people.
Right. But the you know, like with Bit Congress, the only people that's involved other than a mathematical formula is the people that's sitting there staring at their own votes. They you know, there's basically a vote count.
But the important part is the transparency of the vote count.
Right.
Because what we have now, and for anybody that thinks that I'm just, like, talking stuff off the top of my head, go look up the documentary Hacking Democracy, and it'll explain that Diebold and the current voting system is completely rigged, and so are the computers that are doing it. The reason Bit Congress is great, and I believe that your point is the transparency.
Yeah, everybody can see every piece of voting that has ever happened. And just say that, I'm having trouble finding a perfect example, but, for example, in these indictments, now, you know, we all know what an indictment is. It's where people get together to say whether someone should be charged of a crime. Well, you know, sometimes the district attorney doesn't have the most up-to-date law available to give to the jurors to see whether the, you know, person should be charged of a crime or not. But, you know, one thing that I can see with Bit Congress is, you know, all the laws will be posted. If there's any, you know, amendments to that law, it will be directly stricken out with the current law. You know.
While I completely agree with your final point, I do disagree with your metaphor, because I'm pretty sure, as what we've seen recently, murder is still against the law, despite what kind of clothes you're wearing.
Well, yeah.
But that being said, your ultimate point does ring true. And, you know, there should be up-to-date, transparent. And that's, you know, and we're seeing on TV, it goes back to the CIA report. How dare you release this stuff? How could we ever do this? Not in this country. How dare we tell people what's actually happening? You're making us all look like villains. Well, if you weren't behaving like villains, you wouldn't look like villains. You know, if you're doing something in the dark and you don't want to bring it to light, then don't do it. You know, it's one or the other. Everything should be transparent. Remember, whatever happened to Barack Obama is the most transparent president ever.
That was pretty transparent that he is not being transparent.
Right, exactly. And it's an absolute joke. Like, you know, 98%.
Well, let's not just talk about Barack. Let's talk about them all.
No, I only focus on Barack and specifically point him out because he literally got up in front of the American people and said, I will be the most transparent president ever. And guess what?
Not
he
just
was
Barack.
Not.
You have other candidates that also like say the same thing. So,
well, those other candidates ain't the president right now.
Well, goddamn, past and present.
Hey, he inherited this.
Yeah.
Well, look, it's a system that's been going forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, so let's talk about the system.
Well, absolutely. That's what it all goes back to, the system.
Because I say fuck the system.
Well, of course.
We need a new one.
And poor Barack. That's how I think of him. Poor Barry.
Poor Barack.
He is in charge about as much
you
as I am.
You have to say that, too. You know that?
I feel
that.
Oh,
poor. And I want to preach that again to you guys. We may need to just, hey.
No, he's a scumbag. Don't get it wrong. I'm not going to take that back.
Okay.
Well. He knows what he got into. He knows the job he applied for.
Well, they all know the job that they applied for.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, you see, I got to say this. We had, the staffers to step out with their hands up on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely.
So now that is tremendous. It's huge. It's fucking breathtaking.
And they scored a bunch of political points by doing it, too. Good. Gosh, you will believe anything.
Well, hey, I keep my hands up.
That's fair enough. Keep your hands up. You know what? While your hands are up, their hands are in your pockets. Yeah. That's where they need to be. Because, listen, you can have your hands up all day, and their hands are in your back pocket.
Well, I got to say they're not in my pocket because I only have bitcoins.
Well, you know what? They clicking, and they getting inside your computer and taking it.
Nah.
You know how it rolls.
We have brain wallets.
The ultimate point is they keep you distracted. You have your hands up, and they got your hands in your pockets. Yeah. I do agree. Cryptocurrency is the future. That's where it's going to go as far as that. But that's not where we're at today.
I know. I know we're not there today. But we're trying to move towards that, you know, because we have all these other issues.
Just because you live in your intellectual world of the future and are smarter than everyone.
No, well,
have progressed to that point doesn't mean the rest of us have.
Well, that's why we're here and we're trying to share this information because that's all we love doing is sharing.
Absolutely.
You know, today was Tipping Tuesday, guys, so, you know, it's one of my favorite days.
Explain
to
people what Tipping Tuesday is.
Well, Tipping Tuesday is where we get on social media outlets and we like just tip everyone with micropayments through Change Tip and it's just a new way to share the love and support everyone because you know this thing is all about the people because we have our own money now.
And why are you wanting to tip somebody? What did they do for you?
Well, God, hey, if they're sharing great information, you know,
if they provide something of value and you think it's worth, you know, a half a penny, you can give them a half a penny.
Yeah. So, no, spam filter, basically. But, guys, hey, we appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Anti-Media Radio.
Thank you so much for calling in. This is Sim Gibson. This is my co-host,
Dedrick Young.
Also joining the studio by
Eric.
Thank you so much. We will see you on Thursday. Have a good evening. I'm
I'ma let him know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.